to the wise seeker, do not look it in the eye until all is said and done. Mm-hmm.
How could you not? I look everything in the eye. I find an eye, I'm looking into it. I don't care where it is. I will find it and look right into it. I can't help it.
You will then leave.
I need to see. What's going on? What if you're shady?
Why should I look away?
Yeah. Why should I look
away? What's up with your eye?
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
I have sweatpant jeans.
Oh my God, yes.
Okay.
Seriously, I've been talking about this for the past, 3 days with Greg. Like, every time I see it, I'm like, the sweatpant jean.
I've been had this for months.
And then
here.
The leather sweatpants.
Yeah.
No. That just, like, it's, leather no.
Sweatpants.
Okay, so we can talk about it. So I want to kick off today with a new segment called hashtag respect your elder. That's your YR elder. And this is a segment where I bring in some stuff about Pliny the Elder.
Because there's nothing Jaquetta likes more than Pliny the Elder.
I don't know what it is. I just, we did one story with him, and now I'm obsessed.
And you're hooked. And she sends me emails. Pliny the Elder.
Because current.
Yes.
So Pliny the Elder, a.k.a. Gaius Plinius Secundus, was around from 23 to 79, better known as Pliny the Elder. And he was an ancient author and natural philosopher. And he wrote the Naturalist Historia, which is 37 books.
That's a lot to write by hand.
He never did anything but write. So basically, he was carried through the streets. Yeah, Pliny the Younger, who was his nephew, gave quotes that were basically like, he told him never to stop writing, never to stop reading. The only time Pliny the Elder stopped was when he was submerged in the bath. Literally submerged.
Yeah.
Although he had people scrub him. He had people do everything he needed to do for himself so that he could read and he could write. A lot of stuff that he wrote was BS, but it's there.
Wow.
So I'll give you some of his quotes. In vino veritas.
In vino veritas.
In wine there is truth.
That's right. We love that.
That's one
that we use to this day.
Also, with a grain of salt, he came up with that.
Did he really?
Yes. He was the first person to take something with a grain of salt.
But he probably meant it in a way like take it to heart because salt was expensive at that time.
I think he meant season it a bit.
Oh, really?
Because it's BS. Some of his other quotes that were not as illustrious. When a building is about to fall down, all the mice desert it. Fact. When a building is about to fall down.
When you see the mice running. You better run. Follow the mice.
Another quote that he had that was in his book about natural history. Bears, when first born, are shapeless masses of white flesh, a little larger than mice.
Ew!
Their claws being prominent alone. The mother then licks them gradually into the proper shape of a bear. That's wrong.
That's completely wrong. I'm going to lick my baby into a form.
But, where does he even come up? These are in his books. There's 37 books.
Yeah.
This is one of his facts about how things work. This is the same guy who gave us the basilisk. So,
oh, really?
You know, don't be...
So he was a scientific mind.
Yes.
The mothers lick their babies
into
shape.
I don't think I think he did more writing than investigating.
Well, it sounds clearly, like. If he had somebody wash his back for him while he wrote, I would like that.
Yeah. And then the last one I'm going to give you
wash
for this week.
Back.
Because we respect our elders, but briefly. Is the best plan is, as the common proverb has it, to profit by the folly of others. I like that one.
Oh, yeah.
So he wrote 36 or 37 books, and each one was a different thing. It was stone, animals, drugs from a plant, drugs from other, several on drugs.
Okay.
Not surprising.
Sure.
Basilisk, once again. So that's my Pliny moment.
That's nice.
Yeah. All right. Do you have?
I have here, this is something that I found.
It looks juicy.
Yeah, they're sweatpant jeans.
To which I say no.
It says dressy sweatpants made from gray French terry.
Mm. Why is that always a way to try to make something fancy?
French terry.
It makes me think of a towel.
I know, right?
Like a nasty old towel.
This is a question. Are dress sweatpants the world's most sophisticated looking sweats? Or the most comfortable dress pants ever made?
No.
Answer yes.
Yeah.
I say no to the both as well. At first glance, gray dress pants, sweatpants. First of all, the whole thing.
Is it called sweatpants? It's called dress pants, sweatpants?
Dressy sweatpants.
Okay. They've been calling them also joggers.
Oh, which, that's nice. Now, this is from a company called Beta Brand.
Okay. Oh, okay. I've heard of them.
Yeah.
They're not the only ones, though, that have jumped on the dress pant, sweat pant craze. It's like the new jort.
So you have to pack in your luggage now your shoes, a belt, dress pants, sweat pants.
How do you wear...
and dress pants.
How do you wear sweat pant, dress pants?
You wear them like you would a dress pant. And nobody's supposed to know that they're sweatpants.
But they're gathered at the bottom.
I know.
Right? Am I right?
No, they're not. They're cupped. And I brought in the pictures, listeners, and each...
Oh, this is something different. This is like fake trousers.
They're fake trousers made of French terry, so they're as comfortable as sweatpants.
Why do you need to be that comfortable?
Everybody's fat.
But that's fine.
Me
just
too,
wear,
but I'm just saying, but you just, know, but wear a nice fitted pants.
You wear pants? I wear pants?
Yeah.
I don't feel like I need to go there. That guy's also wearing a horse head because he's embarrassed.
Yeah, everybody in these pictures, are their faces are out of frame. All the models, you cannot see their faces.
So
one's playing pool, two are playing pool.
So these are like a boot, they're trouser cut, but they're actually sweatpants. I thought you were talking about, and you may have seen this, they're jogging pants gathered at the waist, gathered at the ankle.
Oh, no.
But they come in leather and like flannel.
No. That sounds even more fabulous.
That's what I thought you were talking about.
These are,
and they're not made out of... a nice French terry. These are just made out of whatever material, and they're like the poor man's harem pant. And they also have them in leather.
No, I have the leather.
First, I say no to jogging pants. Period. I say no.
No, I say no too. They say here on the office or the road, rest assured, the gray dress pants, sweatpants will make
it. It rolls off the tongue. Is why it's going to sell.
Any day feel like casual Friday, but no one will be the wiser. They're great for dressing up or dressing down or just lazing around. They're not good for anything.
No, and I don't like casual Friday. I never have.
And this is gross. Here, one of the customer reviews. New gray dress pants sweatpants.
She's like, I ate all the Ben and Jerry's in these sweatpants. That's what I feel. I feel like I'm going to be too comfortable and I'm not going to stop snacking.
No lies. From bed to work. Same pants. Best investment ever.
Not in my office.
Right?
Not on my watch.
Right. And that's the mentality of the customer of the dress pants.
Not my daughter. Not without my daughter.
I just had to bring it up. And if listeners don't wear them, please.
That's awful. That goes with like the beer can flip-flop.
Yes. Oh my God, that's a classic. Yes. Listeners, in one of our first episodes, we talked about the flip-flop that had a beer opener in the sole, mm-hmm. which sounds like a nice idea. Initially.
Except that you've been walking around your trailer park with them on all day.
Stepping in God knows what.
And then opening up my Coors Light with it.
Right, and then you're going to drink it. Put that to your lips, see what happens. See how thirsty you are when you see that flip-flop come over.
All right, I got some robot news. So, it's unpopular science. This is extremely unpopular.
Okay.
You're not going to like this at all.
All right.
Sure. Katie and I are both freaked out by the coming robo-apocalypse, and we like to report on it.
Yes.
It's going to happen next year in Korea. That's my prediction.
South Korea, for sure. North Korea is...
No, it's not going to happen. No. They might already have robot apocalypse there.
It might have. Yeah.
That might be it.
Yeah, right.
So, it says this robot... First of all, there's problems with the opening. This robot tastes better than a wine critic.
What?
Yes. So robots might be unseating the cherry job of wine critic soon. Researchers in Denmark have created an artificial tongue. To find out whether expensive wine actually tastes better than any cheap stuff. I say ask us.
Yeah.
We will taste your expensive wine
and tell
you if it tastes better than booze.
Yeah, as a human being. You know, why do you need a robot to do that?
Well, the problem is that they made an artificial tongue that can taste. This wine thing is a red herring.
If there's an artificial tongue, I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that. I do have one with one that tastes.
But that's the whole point of this thing. If you think it's just going to be around for people's enjoyment or to blow a raspberry at someone, that's not what's going to happen.
You know, I thought that we had something for once. Mm-mm. Everything was like...
This is a tongue for drinking wine and to tell whether or not my wine is cheap.
Well, I know already.
Yes, and I don't care. It doesn't matter
my
to me.
My box of wine is fine.
Yeah.
It's cheap and it doesn't taste
good. The wine that comes with a straw that you could stick into it. Have you seen those? They're like
robots. Yeah, we had one together.
They're fine.
Yeah.
Those are quite fine. I don't need a robot to find out. It says here, according to MarketWatch, over 31.4 billion bottles of wine are bought and sold every year. Mm-hmm. Doesn't sound like very much to me. While some standard ratings have been placed on wine and there's a decent following on in wine personalities and what they recommend, everyone has different tastes and what they like. And it's hard to decide what
will do well at the local grocery store. So basically, this is going to be a low budget tongue that is going to be able to tell, will sweet bitch work at the supermarket? Like, you know, is it
right.
Is yellow tail going to work?
It's barefoot. Peoria?
Is barefoot going to work?
Yes.
So it's not for distinguishing like Chateau Lafite from some yellow tail. It's like, what will the common woman podcaster, if you will, want in a $10 bottle of wine?
I know. And it's so unnecessary, and I don't like this at all.
Yeah, and also I think everyone's palate is different, bringing the tone up a bit. Everyone's palate is different, so how can they replicate? I don't know. I'm just imagining a very drunk robot. Like,
it seems like a waste. All that wine in a robot tongue?
In a robot tongue. Is the robot going to spit some of it out? Is it going to be snooty?
Is it right?
Be like, I don't think so. Okay. They are saying, though, it's a good thing that if they could develop this thing in the future, it could be for diagnostic purposes, meaning it could help discover and prevent diseases, which is great, except that now it's bad enough going to the doctor to get, like, you know, stuck. Now we're going to have something lick us to find out if something is wrong. I'm not going to go any further with that, but you know what I'm saying.
It doesn't sound good. Yeah.
I do not want to be licked by a robot.
Right.
I don't care if it's at the podiatrist office.
you're a podiatrist.
Yes. My friendly podiatrist. All right, what do you have?
I have here some advice on advice.
Oh, awesome. So advice on advice is a segment that we do where we find advice on the internet that's unqualified.
And it stinks.
And we want to improve upon it by giving our advice on advice. Hence, hashtag advice on advice.
Yeah.
So this is one that you found.
This is, Dear Prudence.
Oh, Prudence is one of our classic advice givers.
Exactly. Dear Prudence says, the question is,
okay.
Right, hot coworker makes me uncomfortable. That's the topic.
Really?
Dear Prudence. Okay. I just started a new job. My first.
Did you say Prudy?
Yeah, Dear Prudence.
Okay, she says she's on like a 1.5 name basis?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. She writes enough that she's calling her casually.
Prue.
I just started a new job, my first in a leadership position. Mm-hmm. Although I'm in charge of my...
I've never been in a leadership position, a job, ever. Can you imagine?
This is my first.
This is my team.
I'm in charge.
Yeah. Watch out.
As a leader. Although I'm in charge of my department, my position requires close interaction with the director of another department.
That's not unusual. I don't think although was the right word to use it.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
As per usual, I should have said. My problem is that the director makes me really uncomfortable. I'm fairly sure he finds me attractive. I've caught him looking at me in meetings.
He was like, what is she talking about? Who let her in charge of a team? What kind of leadership is this?
Yeah, who put her in this leadership position? Her first one.
If she's going to lead from behind, great.
I've caught him looking at me in meetings. He finds reasons to stop by my office, and his body language seems to confirm it.
How much you would have bet he's being like, are you going to work on that thing we talked about earlier?
I need the report.
And by I'm looking at you, I mean I'm actually looking at you.
Yeah, I don't think it would be an issue, except I think he's ridiculously handsome, and I feel nervous around him.
Okay.
Right. I'm happily married, so I'm definitely not interested in pursuing a relationship with him.
You sure? Because you're writing in.
Yeah, because I never had this experience with another coworker before.
That's weird.
So I'm not sure how to handle it. I want to get over my schoolgirl crush and make sure that we have successful professional relationships.
Oh, that's right, because you got a lead.
Yeah, but I'm not sure how to go about that. Any ideas? Signed, keeping it professional.
Wow. Thank goodness you're in a leadership role. I'm sure the rest of your team is like, great, you're just salivating all over marketing. Making sales look like morons. All right, so what's...
the answer is...
Okay.
Your letter took...
And the answer is...
Dang. Your letter took a left turn because I expected it to conclude with a question about how you deal with a creepy colleague.
Really? Okay.
Why is she putting that on?
I don't know.
Okay.
Because that's like an easy one, right?
Yeah.
Like if someone's harassing you or harassing you, depending on what income bracket you're in on the job.
Ooh, would I rather be harassed or harassed?
I don't know. Probably harassed because you're a fine lady.
Okay.
But I mean, some of the places I work just,
just harassed. Okay.
But that's an easy one, right? You go to HR.
Right. Instead, it's about what to do about the fact that the two of you are acting like moody middle schoolers.
Mm-hmm.
Just her. And although you don't raise the issue, I assure you others have noted the body language and the lingering glances. How does she know?
I don't know. This woman sounds like she's been playing it pretty like low-key, though, right?
Yeah. What you do is act like the professional you are. When who comes to your door, you glance up and say, "Hi, Channing, can I help you?" Yeah, that's cute.
For us, it's like, "Hey, Larry."
Yeah. She puts a Channing in there.
"Thanks for stopping by, Gerald. Can you get your junk off my desk?"
Fred. And when you're done with the business at hand, you say, "I don't want to be abrupt, but I'm swamped." So it's like, get the F out of here.
No, you can't do that, though, because you guys are supposed, you have to work together.
Yeah, don't rush people around.
As leaders.
Be, like, abrupt and, like, curt with them.
It's not his fault he's attractive.
That's right.
He probably gets this all the time. We didn't get the letter from him.
He was probably licked by his mother into form. That made him handsome.
But what if he's going to write and be like, "None of the women in the office will work with me on any projects. Everyone's abrupt. I keep getting sent away. Is it B.O.?
You know what I mean? Like, is that you,
Wouldn't
Channing?
It feel weird if you were like just Channing. Being friendly with someone and then they were like, "You know what, Katie? I have a lot of work to do here." And you're like, "It's 8:30. And we have a meeting together."
It's like, I'm out. Get out.
Yeah. Why, I mean, move along. I said good day.
But.
No, I said good day.
Oh.
You have to go back to your team leadership.
Okay. Okay. So no hair tossing, lip parting, eye lingering subliminal messages.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with an office crush or noticing that there's some eye candy down the hall. It can help you get into work early.
Really?
Because you're just ready.
That's wrong. If you're getting to work early to get
to
a look
at somebody, then you need to be looking. You need to get some porn.
Yeah, you need. Yes. Like, I can't imagine. I don't like to get up early, period, but I can't be like, "Well, normally I get up at 6, but I'm going to be up at 4:30 to check out some sweet, sweet.
Can't wait. Like, you're standing outside the building.
Yeah, here he comes. In those Dockers. There he goes.
But it's up to you to keep your thoughts encased in your personal hard candy shell.
Okay, wow.
Keep them encased.
Yeah, I mean, The advice is, I think the advice is okay, but I mean, I guess she needs to be thinking about why she's already straying, right? Is she kind of newly married, or she seems young?
No, she's just young, and she's just like, "I'm uncomfortable because he's good looking."
But if you're going to be uncomfortable around every attractive person you work with, you're going to have a really hard time in some industries.
Yeah. No kidding.
And others, she'll be fine.
It's a thing that happens. Like, you can look at good-looking people all day. You can see them on TV. You're walking around. You see them. You're out.
But they're not accessible.
At the bar. Well, either you see them. But when you're in an office and a good-looking person walks in, it's like puppies. You know, you're just like,
I guess because you're in kind of this controlled environment. Like, Greg and I were talking about, like, whenever there's a firefighter in, like, CVS or the supermarket, you know, because all the women, you see a couple women cruise by, I mean, where's everybody going?
Right.
Why is everyone heading to aisle 4?
It's true.
And then you get there, and there's just a lone fireman who's just like, "I'm just trying to get some granola bars."
That's it.
And he can't, because everyone's like, "Hey, aisle 4.
It's true. Yeah, like, I work at a company, and sometimes the models come in for photo shoots.
Okay.
Or to be, like, you know, just scrutinized
for a photo shoot. To be looked at.
Yeah.
Turn.
And everybody's like, "That's model day."
Yeah.
Model day. The models are coming.
That's
awesome. And
everyone
loses their, you know, messaging each other.
The models are here.
The models are here. Look up.
One time I was in a store shopping and two pilots came in. And you would have thought, like, and the men who, it was a women's clothing store, but there were some men who worked in there as well. And the men were like, "What happened?" Like, the entire staff, like, everyone, so all of a sudden, everyone was like, "You know, maybe I do need socks." Like, this is really interesting all of a sudden. I guess it has to do with being caged. And also in office, you see the same people
all the time, and over again.
You're
just like, who's the best looking person?
Today. We should have a fashion show.
It's always the same person who's the best looking. And now you're sick of it.
You're sick of him.
Sick of him. Get somebody else in there.
Penis news, hashtag penis news, dick updates.
Oh, your favorite segment.
Yep,
the
member on the move. Scrotum scripture, if you will. So, this is from Australia, from Down Under.
Mm-hmm.
Penis injury not severe enough for disability support, says tribunal. A man who injured his penis at work when caustic soda was spilled onto his clothing.
What?
Has failed in a legal bid to claim the disability support pension. So, apparently this guy, it doesn't say what kind of soda it is, but... Come on, we've been around.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of soda is so caustic?
Wait a minute.
That
is
you
it
poured
Jolt?
It. Even if it were Jolt, he spilled it on his pants. It soaked through his pants to his member, and now he's saying the thing is ruined.
Ruined?
And he needs to be on disability.
Was he soaking in it?
I don't know. It just says he spilled it. So the man was working as a factory hand in 2009. I was saying it didn't even. If it happened in an office, Even better. Oh, but no. He was working as a factory hand in 2009.
Oh.
And since then, he said he's suffered ongoing pain in his penis.
All right.
Several years later, the doctor diagnosed him with penile neuropathic pain, which is nothing. It just means the penis hurts.
Penis pain.
Yes. But then the people who give the pensions are like, we're not going to give you a disability pension. Your right. penis hurts, but...
It's not our fault that you don't know how to keep the soda in the bottle.
But it's also, like, you can still work
yeah.
if your penis is slightly uncomfortable.
Right.
So the man appealed, and they were like, no, we're not giving you any money for your dick. And then he said, he tried to explain to him he could no longer work because he was psychologically scarred by it. And he said that the penis pain is always there, but it gets worse when it's triggered by sexual activity and drinking too much alcohol.
The two best things in life.
I think this is why he lost his claim.
Yeah, right.
Because he's not supposed to be doing either of those in the factory. So when he has too much sex or has a lot to drink, mm-hmm. the penis is killing him. It also says he has chronic pain when it's when the penis is aggravated by rubbing or touching.
Mm. It took me a beat. I was like, yeah, yeah. You know, rub it and touch it, sure.
So basically, if he lays off it,
yeah,
and he doesn't have too much vigorous sex and doesn't get drunk, his penis will be fine. Mm. Apparently, he can't, you know.
Brand new.
Brand new. It'd be like nothing happened.
Yeah.
So basically, they
don't
said,
use it. Put it away.
They said that they felt bad about the penis, and they said it's unusual and it's legitimate, but that they don't think that, you know, an occasionally sore penis from sex, drinking, and beating off is worth a disability
pension.
It's
going to be that way anyway.
Yes.
And I mean, if you're using it right.
It's not fair. But it's like, he's asking for disability. Disability is for people who have disabilities.
Yeah.
This is not a disability. This is like... There's just, like, it's unless he's, but unless he's working as a male prostitute,
right?
He doesn't, if he was doing that, like if he was using his penis on the job, porn star, mm-hmm. male prostitute, mm-hmm. I don't know what other job
or,
he's your penis
like
for.
In a previous episode, he's exercising demons from women's vaginas.
Exactly.
That's
if he
job.
Was using his penis for work,
yeah,
I could see some kind of workers' compensation. But in this case, they're saying, no, he's not going to do it. So yeah, they said it's not severe enough. For a support pension. This guy's probably doesn't want to work for the rest of his life. He's probably 27.
He's like, come on. He's like my penis.
Yes. I can't go. I can't drive a backhoe.
Yeah.
My penis hurts. No, I can't do it.
No.
When you work in an office, I think you have a headache like 25% of the time. What if you were like, you know what? I have a slight migraine. I can't work. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But if your penis hurts.
Forget it.
From rubbing and drinking. Can you imagine? Can't come in today.
Because I have a rubbed penis.
Yeah, I drank like a fifth of gin last night, and there was a lot of sex. Can't come in. Right. So that's my penis news. Nice. Get to work.
That's hilarious.
What do you have?
I have a listener mail.
Oh, awesome.
All right. This is from Tammy H.
Okay. Is this a new listener mail? Have
yes.
we had Tammy H before?
No.
So people, if you write us in, you give us a 5-star review, we'll read it on air regardless of content. Or if you send us an email and then you give us your address, which we will not keep or give to anybody, we will send you one of the 4 remaining mm-hmm. Hey You Know What shot glasses, circa 2010, right?
That's right.
Wow.
God.
Yeah. There's only a few left.
These are, you know, special items.
Yeah. The only people who will have them are the original fans and then me and Katie.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is in response to a previous episode where we talked about children's parties and
okay.
what is going on, the big thing at children's parties, which wearing crowns and capes and baking half cakes.
And then making things out of their teeth.
Yeah, and the mothers would take the baby teeth of the kids and make them into jewelry.
Yes, for the parents to wear, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm like, still creepy. Baby's tooth. So this listener wrote in, Tammy H., and she said, you know, she's like, this is just reminds me of what happened to my child.
Okay.
My son was about 6 years old, and I always told him he could ask me anything. I would never lie to him.
That's a bold move.
Yeah, right?
It's a bold move.
I asked him one day to go upstairs and get in the dresser to bring me something. He came back down.
Another bold move?
I know.
I was never allowed to go into a dresser.
Kids never. I mean, kids will go. I went through my mother's dresser.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't allowed to as well.
Right, right, right.
I didn't say I didn't do it. I couldn't wait to get in there.
Yeah. I went out of the house, out of the room.
Yeah, quickly.
And I found my nieces and nephews going through mine, too.
Oh, really? You should put something in there, like a mousetrap.
Yeah. Scary. Like, a picture they're afraid of the zombies. So
fake
put all
rat.
Zombie pictures
yeah.
in there. He came back down without it when I asked him for it. His hands were behind his back, and he said, "You would never lie to me, right, Mom?" And, you know.
So I lied.
I said, right. Yes. And he said, "So is the tooth fairy for real?" And she says, "Like, what's behind your back?" And he shows me the little container that I had with a few of his teeth in it. Yeah. Yep, busted.
He should have just said they were someone else's teeth and just kept it creepy. Be like, "Those aren't your teeth." And just leave it at that.
Yeah, whose teeth are they?
No. Don't, you know what? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
So she didn't tell him that you know, the tooth fairy isn't real. And he said, "I want to go to my room now. I can't look at you."
Oh, my God. Good day. Good day. I said good day.
Good day, mother. If wow. That's who you really are.
Yes.
I can't believe you.
If you are my mother.
And so he was so hurt. And then he goes up and he comes back down. And he was like, "Mom, is Santa real?"
And she's like, "This is like a domino effect."
Yeah, this is a big moment.
Did Lincoln actually free the slaves, or was it just pressure trying to end the war? Like, what's Glasnot?
She told him, "No, Santa wasn't real. The Easter Bunny, no."
Wow. So did he go upstairs and he like made a list, yeah, like a mental list?
And he's like, "Seriously, Mom?" And she said, "I'm sorry. I wanted you to use your imagination."
Is gender real? Is the next question. Yeah, I know. Is it a false dichotomy between male and female? Is there anything to it at all?
He said, "But you lied."
Well,
just when I trusted you.
This kid is
tough.
You
lied. And he stomped upstairs and he said, "I can't look at you right now. I really can't."
Did he come back down again the third time?
No, that was it.
He left it. They didn't do a third act.
He was 6-year-old.
You know what? I like his style. He took a stand.
He did. And he was like, no, and that's great. You know, that he confronted and he was like, "I'm going to find out the truth." He's going to be a reporter.
Someday.
A good, like, old-timey reporter that actually reports.
That sneaks into people's house.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
He started off as a thief. What a real reporter.
And what is this? What's in this box?
What's in here?
What
it says, "Do not open."
But he figured, he's like, "These are the teeth that I remember coming out of my own mouth."
It's creepy. I remember as a kid sneaking into my mom's room and looking through dresser drawers. And my, when I was younger, like 4, my grandmother passed away. But we still had a lot of her stuff.
Right.
And I found my grandmother's false teeth. Ooh. Which then, you know, as a child, what do you got to do?
Yeah.
You got to put them on. You got to put them on.
No, you didn't.
Then you got to run around the house. I mean, it's just like nobody
That's
wants
what
to
you
gotta see.
Do.
Well, you know, I watched Warner Brothers cartoons. I was upset that they didn't jump around the table by themselves.
That's hilarious.
But it was just like,
you put them in and you
extremely insensitive.
They're so real looking.
Yes.
Though. And they're huge.
They're huge.
And your head is so little.
Yes. It was awesome. I somehow got those mofos in and was like, ah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure my mom did not appreciate that at all, seeing her dead mother's teeth in her child's mouth. That's why you got to put things like that away from children.
Really.
Yeah, like in a shed at someone else's property.
Right.
If you don't want them to find it.
Exactly. Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I kept a mold of my teeth. They made this like big wooden mold.
Did you have braces?
No, this was for something else. I think for a crown that I had. But they made a whole big thing. And then they were like, "Oh, see here." You know, the dentist's like, "Oh, this is what we'll do here and here." And I was like, "Oh, what are you doing with that?" And they're like, "We're going to throw it out."
What are you got any plans for that mold?
So I'm like, "I want to take it. I want to show my niece and nephew."
What was it made out of?
It's like plaster. I don't know. It's ever
Oh, this is a recent thing.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I have one because I had braces. So before to entice you to get braces, because back then they didn't have all the computer programming, they would take the mold of your mouth and then show you how awful and British your teeth looked. And I remember looking at those and being like, that looks like the mouth of someone it's like an 1820s mouth, from like an urchin.
Oh, yeah.
And I still have it always like the most screwed up looking, but like what a good, you know, enticement to like put it together.
Yeah.
What did your niece and nephew think of the mold?
Oh, I've been hiding it from them. Like I was not hiding it. I put it away and I'm like, oh, I got to pull it out when they come by and I keep forgetting.
Oh, it's awesome.
So I'm like, oh, I can't wait to
You should put it somewhere where they're not supposed to be looking for it.
Yeah.
And like put something in it.
They were looking at my books on the shelf and they saw the title Naked by David Sedaris. And yeah.
Just, were they disappointed?
They were giggling. They're like, oh, naked.
Just from the title.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
They have no idea.
They have no idea this is extremely dry wit.
Yeah.
That they wouldn't. This wasn't even just like a foot with no shoe.
Right.
Like nothing. Nothing at all.
When's the action going to happen,
Katie? There's no pictures. What kind of nakedness is this? You're like, it's just naked self-expression.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Self-expression.
And they went back through the other drawers. What's in here?
Nothing good. You got to put some stuff in there.
Yeah, I took everything away.
Really?
I took all...
Put some gag stuff in there. You got to put some stuff that just makes no sense. Like, I don't know, like a hoof. Like a hoof. You know what I mean? Something weird. Or like, what's something that would freak a kid out that doesn't make any sense at all that you would have, like... Yeah, like a pirate hook or something.
Yeah, right? Okay.
But they're like, what is Aunt Katie been doing? Like, don't worry. You should tell them, don't go in the top drawer.
Whatever you do, just stay out of it.
Just stay out of there.
I totally do that.
Or like, I don't know. It's got to be something like bizarre. I don't know. I'll find something.
Okay. If you find something.
Listeners, if you have any idea about something weird, we could freak Katie's niece and nephew out.
Yeah, send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com. Let us know.
Like a picture of, like, I don't know, Rutherford B. Hayes signed or something.
Signed. They're like, how could he have signed this?
Yeah. How? How old is Aunt Katie? She's been around forever.
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
All right. I have here 10 ways to keep him from cheating.
Oh!
Yes.
So, fantastic.
This is the time of year when people cheat.
Really?
That's any time of year, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like around the holidays start to come up, people get friskier.
Really? I always thought they kind of settled into it during the holidays because it's like, it's cold.
Okay. I like that too. That was my segue. I guess it didn't work. I think that, well, February is the worst month,
for sure.
So this is 10 ways to keep him from cheating. And this is from Your Tango.
Oh.
So I guess that's like Love Panky's nemesis.
Really?
It said, most men do not cheat because they don't love you anymore. Or like a woman, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, you, personally.
Boo.
Men cheat because they want more variety in their sex lives. Some complain of being bored.
Ow.
They want to feel adored by their partners. They want to assert their freedom. They are tired of disappointing you. So this is your fault. The fact that you were disappointed by him, you got to do something about that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, as always.
Yeah, as always.
It's your, yeah.
Yeah, it's, they want a partner who places them at the center of their life, and they no longer feel like their priority, blah, blah, blah. So these are 10 ways to prevent your man from cheating. One, be willing to initiate sex.
Fine.
Okay.
Who isn't?
I don't know. Or there's some people like, you know, I'll wait.
I'll just sit here.
I'll just wait. I don't care. I'll wait here all day.
I'll be on the couch.
Yeah. Watching Food Network or whatever.
In sweats.
Yeah. In sweats.
That look like dress pants.
Yes. Men equate sex with desirability. Help your man to feel desired by expressing your love in a physical way.
No.
Yeah. Two, be open to experimentation. This is all, it's always
it's
this.
The same.
It's the same it's thing something. For everything, right? Okay. Don't, number three, don't over accommodate.
What?
Yes. Sometimes in a relationship, a woman can become too accommodating. I have never heard any man or anyone complain about that.
Oh,
you know what? My husband always goes along with everything I say, and I can't stand it.
I always get what I want.
Yes, I want a little pushback.
I want stress and confrontation.
Yeah,
I don't lie.
I want to have to fight for the very simple things that I would like. So it says, don't overaccommodate. Men get into relationships with a very clear picture of what a lifetime partner looks like, and this is often in stark contrast to whom he may have dated casually. Women work to become the person their partner wants. I don't know who this is.
Right.
And in doing so, they lose themselves.
Oh, you know.
You know. One day, their man realizes this is what he asked for, but he isn't sure what he wants.
What?
Yeah. Number two. So number three, don't overaccommodate. Number four, don't become too controlling.
Well, wait a minute. If you're going to accommodate...
Yeah.
Isn't that controlling a situation?
It's a soft control,
oh.
I would like to say. I think. So it says, we engage in destructive behaviors such as complaining. Well, when shit's messed up, blaming, look, when it's your fault.
Yeah.
Criticizing when it's not right.
Right.
Nagging, threatening, punishing.
Threatening.
Kind of.
Get over here.
Wait, it's better.
Get on this.
Bribing.
What?
Yes. Look, a C note.
A bribing for sex?
I don't know.
Wait, I don't know what's happening
anymore. Number five, make sure he knows how much you appreciate him.
Well,
okay,
all right,
that's fine. Number six, let him have time to himself. Yes,
you go,
take it,
go,
enjoy.
Because that's your wine time.
Yes,
ladies.
Exactly.
That's your white wine.
White wine and Food Network,
right?
Or Logo.
Yeah.
Right. Always something on Logo.
It is. Something fun. Have you?
Yeah. Sometimes they show movies. I'm like, this isn't gay, but this is awesome. Yeah. I never know how they pick their... Is it someone in the movie might have been gay at one point?
Probably.
Or is it just something that gay people like?
I think both.
It's interesting to me. But it's always... The movies are always really good. Be aware of your emotions. All right.
Well, why do you want to get into that?
Yeah.
What? Because you shouldn't be... thinking about your needs at this time.
Yeah, you should be thinking about the guy.
Yeah.
He's disappointed.
So I think
you,
that's the wrong direction we're going in.
Number 8, prioritize your relationship. Often when a man cheats, you'll find the woman is also having a quote-unquote affair that is not sexual. This we talked about this
before. Emotional affairs.
Whenever I'm reading this, it comes up over and over again. Is a shoe, does that count? Does shopping count?
As an emotional thing?
Yeah.
No.
Or does it have to be...
It has to be a human.
A human,
not
okay.
a robot, not
no.
a shoe.
Not a robot, not yet.
Right, robots, that's going to be another thing. People are going to get...
It's going to say, turn off the robot
on
occasion is going to be like number 9.
Turn
it off.
Yeah.
Number 9, learn his love language.
What?
If you're not...
I don't think I want to know that.
If you're not familiar with Dr. Gary Chapman's The 5 Love Languages, please read it. Probably written by Dr. Gary Chapman. It has the potential to save more marriages than marriage counseling. Learn your man's love language and speak it to him regularly. He will know he is loved and remain. Can't you just say you love him?
Yeah.
Or is it like some... Okay. And number 10, find his relationship pattern.
His pattern. He comes in. He tends to walk in the front door at the end of the day.
Find his pattern. And I do not know how to combat the biology argument. Some men simply believe it is hardwired into their genes to have sexual relations with as many sexual relations. That sounds like you're a politician and you've been caught. Sexual relations with as many women as they can. If this is your man, it won't matter what you do. To put that up top at number 1, try to recognize these men early on by asking about their dating history. Hey, do you cheat on the reg?
That's right. Yeah. You should say that.
Yes.
You should totally ask.
Are you a cheater? Have you cheated before?
I've never asked anybody out point blank.
Would they tell you the truth if they were a cheater?
Well, just you need to see the reaction, so don't text it. Yes. And don't leave a sticky note.
Just jump out and
be
like, hey.
Yeah, find a way to be like,
how do you feel about fidelity?
Yeah. Thoughts?
How about infidelity?
Thoughts.
And then just leave it at that.
Yeah, right. But if they start going, really, just start the debate. And when they start going, well, a man is biologically.
And then you roll.
Yeah. Biologically.
I don't.
Programmed.
The only time I've ever heard people say that is like in this kind of like, it's men talking about relationships. Uh-huh. And they're like, well, some men, but I've never actually heard a man be like, look.
This is way
I got to sleep with a lot of women. You are one of these women.
What is the other one where they say that sex doesn't mean anything?
Really?
Yeah, the one where they're like, you know, guys just think about sex a different way. It doesn't have the same meaning to them as it does a woman. So when the guy cheats, it's not really, they're not feeling anything.
Really?
Emotionally.
Because it depends on the guy.
Yeah. So if you get those two arguments, whether you're biologically or it's not, doesn't mean anything, then you just take off.
Can women start using it? I'd be like, look. When I slept with your brother, it didn't mean anything.
It was just a drawing.
It was just a biological imperative that women sometimes sleep with all the men in their man's family.
All the superior men.
Yes. It's the same genes, right?
You're trying to get the better ones.
Yeah.
Because your offspring are supposed to be.
And what's the big deal?
So out of the two of you, he seems a little more virile.
But I'm still here with you.
Yeah, it's all right.
Conversation with him.
It's just a drive.
Yeah, it's just a drive.
Yeah.
Look at the, you know, the wild, wild kingdom.
Yeah.
All right, what do you have?
Climate change ruining wine corks.
What? Okay, before you start, I saw that someone put up a sign in my neighborhood that there was a climate march. And I was just wondering how many people in my neighborhood were going to drive to it. Because it was in the city. You know people drove to that.
Yeah,
you know
they
did.
They totally drove
to that. It was a picture of Obama in the Oval Office looking out the window, and it just looked like raining hellfire.
Yeah.
It's a great image.
Yeah.
Except that's, you know.
And people went.
People went like crazy.
In bundles.
I will not go to any kind of mass gathering like that. I don't care. I'll stay right at home with all the lights on.
all the lights
burning my fossil fuels.
That's right. Until they shut it all down.
Until they
shut
stop
down the grid.
It. Yep.
Okay. Wine lovers might treasure the oaky full body taste of Cabernet.
Might. We do.
Yeah. Or the light fruity aroma of Pinot Grigio.
Yes. Once again.
My best friend.
Yeah.
If the bottle is stuffed with a low-quality cork, they can kiss that meticulously cultivated flavor goodbye.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. people are worried about the
people
the
are worried?
Many people.
Everybody.
Many people may only worry about corks when it's time to pop champagne, but other experts are worried about the quality, which is mysteriously in decline for about 20 years now.
Really?
Yeah, corks are made from the bark of the
cork tree.
The cork tree.
Yeah. Which I always find amazing.
It's commonly called cork oaks, which grow in Southwest Europe and okay. Northwest Africa.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And the more and more low-quality cork trees with thinning bark are sprouting up. So they're all low-quality trees now. And so okay. The cork is like, eh.
It's like Bobo cork trees. Red, white, and black label.
Right, yeah. The bark is the protective outer layer of the trees, and the inside is the cork. And it's mm-hmm. been thinner and more porous, and there's all kinds of BS getting That's absorbed ew. In there, right? And so when you put the cork on, the bad corks... they can't absorb shock proteins, and they can't. There's a lot of technical stuff that's happening. The UV. I'm going to say UV. I'm going to talk about phenolic compounds here. All this stuff,
I had
so
no
stuff
idea.
Is getting through the cork. It is not helping with the taste of the wine, and the wine is becoming lower quality.
I didn't know that. I don't know very much about. I know a lot about making wine. I didn't know much about this whole cork situation. I assumed the cork was just stopped air from getting it
That's
and
what
from
I
the wine
too.
From spoiling. I didn't know about all those other things.
Yeah, well, apparently I didn't even think about it either. And but because you know where the plastic corks were coming into
role yeah, for a while. But then the cork people complained and were like, "What are you talking about?" But maybe we should be using.
Maybe it should be all plastic.
Oh, maybe just free. Screw tops.
Screw tops. Yeah.
Skin of wine. That box of wine, people make fun of it, but
exactly.
Maybe it's good for the environment.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah,
so crappy cork oaks, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I love the environment as much as the next person, but this has got to stop. This is ridiculous. Now it's affecting me.
Fix this.
Yeah.
Fix this world.
Now it's personal. I mean, yes, rising seas and all that.
Sure.
But what about my wine? Like, I mean, screw top is okay, but frankly, there's nothing more exciting than pop,
yeah.
You know, uncorking a wine. What about champagnes?
And I feel like, you know, sometimes even with the plastic corks, I look at them and I'm like, I think I'm ripped off.
Yeah.
It's not as classy.
The first time I had one, it was a Shiraz. I remember a Rosemont Shiraz.
Oh,
and I got it.
I remember the day. It was fall. The year 2001.
It was a beautiful day. And then I opened up the bottle of wine, and it was just weird rubbery cork. And I was like, I feel cheap and soiled.
And you know what? I had a really nice wine opener from mm-hmm. Sharper Image, the kind you
Was it the rabbit one?
It's better than the rabbit.
Oh, it's the one that you just like, you stab it.
You just stab it on top, and you press the button, and then...
And yeah, those are awesome.
And
not with these cheap corks.
Plastic corks have kind of, you know...
Can you... I would still use it.
I'm going to blame that it broke because of the plastic and not because of the use.
Yes. Did you try to do it anyway?
Frequent use. You're like, opening bottles with...
I don't care if it's a twist off of it. Use that fancy bottle opener.
Yeah. Use it
and see what happens.
On everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. Down with climate change.
No kidding.
Boo. Boo, I say. Tails? Or should I do
tails? Okay. Like...
So, I would introduce now my favorite segment. This is Tales from Der Campfire, in which Katie or I find folk tale, fake tales, tales of the paranormal, ghost stories. And we retell them here around the digital campfire. So at any time now.
Gather around, listeners.
Gather around.
Gather around.
Yeah.
Okay, this is submitted from a listener, a dedicated listener, Chloe B.
Yay, Chloe B.
Chloe B. You know,
making our work easy.
That's right. She wrote in a few weeks ago, and she said, you know, it's been a while. Here I am. I'm back. I'm sorry I disappeared. But I've got a couple of links because we were asking her to send her the links because she was talking about this. The Holder series.
Oh, great. Okay, this is the Holder thing.
Yes. So she sent a few links for the Holder series, which we asked her to when she did, and we sent her a shot glass. Thank you so much, Chloe.
Yeah.
So this one is called Holder of Secrets.
Okay.
In any country where there grows a dense forest, hire a guide to take you into the woods.
Just
a guide.
Okay. Not Iceland, though, because the forests there are not dense.
All right. When you can no longer see the forest's edge, stop your guide and tell him that you wish to meet with the holder of the secrets.
Yeah, you need to tell the guide before this. Because if I'm the guide and I get out there and you're like, hey, guess what?
He's like, oh, he's in the other direction.
Yes.
He's on the other side.
Then I bolt.
Well, apparently he will sigh deeply, lower his eyes, and he will acquiesce to your demand.
Wow, this is anywhere.
Yeah, anywhere.
Okay.
I guess if you're a guide, then you have to just know this, hold your oath that you have to do it.
I hope so. Yeah, otherwise, it's going to get real awkward.
Yeah.
When I pay good money.
He will lead you to a part of the forest that is so thick you will no longer be able to see the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, you and your guide will reach a place where all the trees are gnarled and deformed.
Yeah. Bring a friend, though. Don't go alone.
There, he will point toward a great old oak tree whose scars seem to form a face and say...
A cork oak?
I know, right? If
we would take him there.
A cork oak.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go there. Just get a few corks.
Yes. I bring the wine with me.
Yeah. Okay. The tree... Then he'll point to the tree and he'll say... There rests the holder of secrets, who awaken only in hours of supreme darkness. A word to the wise seeker, do not look it in the eye until all is said and done. Mm-hmm.
How could you not? I look everything in the eye. If I find an eye, I'm looking into it. I don't care where it is. I will find it and look right into it. I can't help it.
He will then leave.
I need to see. What's going on? What if you're shady?
Why should I look away?
Yeah. Why should I look
What's
away?
What's up with your eye?
Yeah.
Look at me in my eye.
I've got a guide. I'm all the way in this gnarly forest.
He will then leave you to make your camp without another word. He's like, I'm out.
How am I going to get back out?
It's too bad.
That's okay.
You're the one who wanted to go there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. True.
Heed his advice and pass the hours as best you can till nightfall. When the darkest hour... Bring the pinochle.
Yeah.
When the darkest hour of night is upon you, walk backwards towards the tree. Stop only when you feel its roots beneath your feet. That's a... Well...
Wait a minute.
Yeah. Walk backwards to the tree, and then when you step on the roof, stop.
So I camped near... I'm not up on the tree yet. I'm a ways from it.
Yeah, you have to be away from it.
All right. I thought we were at the tree, and I'm like, now walk backwards into it?
Yeah, walk backwards.
Okay.
Ask of the tree, for whom are they silent?
Okay.
And if the tree does not respond, run away as fast as you can, and do not stop until you reach an area where no trees grow.
So wait, if the tree doesn't respond, bolt.
Just fucking run.
Okay.
If you do not escape, you will suffer a fate worse than death.
But what if it says something?
If the tree responds, only with heavy breathing.
Run.
You must ask once more, for whom are they silent?
Yeah, didn't you hear me?
I hear you breathing.
Yeah, I know you're in here. I'm not running. That's like ridiculous. You're there now, commit.
Ask the same question until the tree begins to shudder. Wait a minute. If the tree is breathing heavy and then starts to shudder, you need to run.
Is my back to this tree still?
Yes.
Okay.
It's an ass man, this tree.
Yes. What if I imagine the tree is like, oh, bitch. Oh, look, I'm going to keep asking.
Yeah. Which, all right, if the tree begins to shudder, which you will know by hearing the rustle of its branches. When that happens, turn and face it, but keep your eyes lowered so that you see only the base of the trunk and the roots. Again.
Are the eyes up in the branches? Okay.
So, come on. The tree will say to you in a dry, rasping voice.
And an annoyed voice.
They are silent for the ones who are buried.
Okay.
To which you must reply, where are they buried and why?
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
At this, the tree will chuckle.
I was going to be like, okay, thank you. Great. Katie!
A sound that has driven many a man insane. Should you manage to hold on to your wits, the tree will begin coughing on you. Stop! I could play the part of the tree.
Okay, but here's the thing: if anything coughs on me, we're gonna have words.
Yeah,
I don't care. What? I'm looking you in the eye now. Are you kidding? Like really?
And then a foul-smelling sap will coat your body, but you must not attempt to turn away or cover your face.
I don't think I'll be able to.
Yeah, if you do, the great roots will ensnarl your ankles, and you will be dragged under the earth as a source of eternal nourishment.
But
that's true.
Just be clear that this guy cleared his throat on you.
Yeah.
Like, that's what the...
I know.
You know, he just coughed phlegm on you.
He did.
Okay.
Deserves, like, even... You can't even give him a hard look.
Nope.
No.
Just looking at his feet.
Forever you will feel its roots boring into your flesh, draining you of your vital fluids. Yet, never shall you be granted the relief of death, for the tree will also fill your veins with a liquid that will make you immortal.
Why would anybody do this?
I would just want to get the immortal liquid and go.
Yeah.
Right? If you manage to stand your ground as the tree is...
Because that's an option. That's like such a New
Why
York
not?
Thing. Look, I'm just here for the liquid.
Yeah.
All right? Can we just skip the phlegm, the coughing,
cough,
the shuddering?
Fine.
I won't look at you, you know.
Do the whole thing. I like the liquid.
Although, frankly, there's not much to see.
Yeah. Like...
Just
you
the
think
liquid.
You're all that,
yeah.
But no.
Just the liquid, okay?
If you manage to stand your ground as the tree is coughing, it will recover its breath and will tell you the tale of those who were buried.
Mm, that tale better not be here, because if it is here, then I don't need to go
no,
there.
No, no.
Okay.
The story's long and frightening, and you'll wish to cover your ears and scream.
It's long-winded.
But at least, but do not, lest the tree make you one of its victims. When the history has been told to you, you must turn your gaze upward toward the eyes of the tree. So many rules about looking
finally,
at
finally, yeah.
If you will, you will be fearful and wish to flee, but there is naught but madness and death in those terrible pits.
Fine, sure.
But stand your ground till the tree closes its eyes.
Okay.
If you're able to do so, the face will vanish from the trunk, and a branch will fall to the ground at your feet. It will be thin and forked, but as strong as steel.
Okay. That's very specific.
As long as you possess it, you will find you have the ability to locate buried items.
You're a dowser. Yeah. It's a dowsing rod.
Guard it well, for there are others who would seek its power.
Well,
and the branch is object number 191 of 538.
Remember? Nice. Yeah, yeah.
It's the one who brings them together.
Yeah.
Don't put them together.
The holder at the end. That's kind of cool. Thank you, Chloe V. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
It's very involved. Where do these come from? We don't know.
The Holder series? That's all fan fiction.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I think so.
How many are the total?
538.
Okay. I feel bad for the person who gets there. The fan who's like number 539. Don't! It's like, really? No part twos. That's awesome.
Yeah,
thanks,
cool.
Chloe
Thank
B.
Thanks, Chloe B.
I like that one. It was very involved.
I just want that immortal liquid.
Just the liquid, please.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
Yeah, right.
Nothing else.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass as a token of our appreciation. As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows, and yes, you will receive an official Hey You Know It shot glass as well.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
Keeping it real.
And I hope everyone can hear the solid groove behind us.
Yeah, there's some good funk going on.
Yeah.
I wonder how Pliny would have felt about it.
Right.
Another side note. So he only had two people in his family that had been taken note of. One was his Pliny the Younger, his nephew.
Uh-huh.
And then his sister, whose name was Plinia.
How did they come up with that?
I don't know. I have no idea. He didn't marry, surprise, surprise. Too busy writing. He said that the women would distract from the writing.
Please, get off me. That's what he said.
Keep scrubbing my back.
Yeah. George.
George.
George the...
Plenty.
George the Shapely.